indeed my privilege to be with you this evening and to have the opportunity to share with you a message from God's Word. And I would ask that you pray for me as I stand before you this evening. And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel, the third chapter. We'll begin reading in the first verse. Daniel, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. This is one of those passages of Scripture that you're familiar with, one that you have heard since you were a child. And there's great meaning for us when we heard it as children, but as we grow older, there's even, I think, a greater meaning that we can find from many of these stories that we find in God's Word. Daniel, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day and for your blessings. We're thankful that we've been allowed once again to come into your house that we might worship you. Father, we ask that you would be with us tonight as we've gathered together, that your Spirit might move among us. Father, that you might touch our hearts, that we would gain understanding of your word. Father, that we might learn to trust you more and that we might learn to be more obedient to you. Father, we ask now that everything that's said and done would be in accordance with your will, and that you would receive all the praise and the honor and the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you're well aware, back in the days that this passage of Scripture was written, the king was the person who was in control. Whatever the king said, that's what happened. There was no one to appeal to. There was no one to challenge what the king had to say because of the office that he held. Whatever his commandments were became law, and whatever was law was enforced. The army or whoever the king delegated to enforce his law would enforce it. And in this particular instance, the king put a new law into place. He started off by making an image of gold, and as we see in this passage of Scripture, it was a huge image. And it was one that he had developed that the people might bow down to it and that they might worship it. But as he developed this image and he set it up there in the province of Babylon, he gathered together all of the rulers and the important people of the land. And when he gathered them together, he told them, or he had a herald tell them what they had to do. He said, "When you hear the music, then you have to bow down and you have to worship this image that has been set up." Now this put some folks in a very, very difficult position. There were 3 Jewish men there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as we see in this chapter, they were men who had been given positions of responsibility. Although they were Jews and they had been captured and they had been brought into the land of Babylon, apparently they had impressed the king. They had impressed those around them with their knowledge and their understanding and their wisdom. And because of that, they had been elevated to a position of authority. And as this passage says, all of those who had those positions of authority had been gathered around as the king came to dedicate this image that he had set up. And I wonder what must have been going through the minds of these 3 men when they heard the decree of the king. Because they knew that this was the dedication of this image. They knew that now the herald had said that when they heard the music, that they were to bow down and that they were to worship the image that was set before them. So I'm sure that they knew in their minds that very shortly that music was going to begin to play, and they had to make a decision. They had to decide whether they were going to be loyal to their God and follow the commandments that God had set down when He said that we were to worship no other gods, or whether they were going to follow this decree that the king had set before them. There was a conflict. They had been placed in a dilemma. And as they were thinking through what they must do, I'm sure that it was pretty prominent in their minds, the consequences of not obeying the king. The king said, anyone who does not fall down and worship this image when the music is played is going to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. So they realized that by refusing to obey the king's commandment, that they were putting their very lives at risk. They had this decision that they had to make. And you know, we may find ourselves in that kind of a dilemma. Now, fortunately, at least to this point in the United States, we don't have to worry about someone casting us into a burning fiery furnace if we refuse to bow down and to worship some kind of image, or if we refuse to deny God. But how many times have we been placed in a situation in which we had to make a decision to do what was right or to do what was wrong? And sometimes when we're faced with those kinds of decisions, there may be some consequences as a result of trying to do what's right, of obeying our Lord. There are people all the time who are asked to do things that are dishonest as a part of their work. We sometimes find ourselves in those difficult situations, and we have to make a decision. And we realize that making that decision may create consequences for us. If we decide that we are going to stand for our Lord, it may cost us friends. It may cost us position. It may cost us privilege. And we're faced with that same kind of dilemma that these three Hebrew children were faced with. Maybe the consequences are not as great, but there are still consequences. And so, what kind of choice do we make? When we examine the lives of these three young men, they made a choice. And their choice was that they would be obedient to God. That rather than bowing down to this image when the music was played, that they were going to stand for God, realizing the consequences. And certainly that was a difficult decision. I'm not sure that we can fully appreciate the pressure that these three men were under. They were men of stature. They were men of privilege because of the authority that they had. And here they were willing to risk all of that they might be obedient to God rather than to be obedient to a man. They made the same kind of choice without hesitation that you and I ought to make. Whenever we are faced with any kind of dilemma, there should be no wavering in our thoughts and in our minds and in our hearts. But the answer should be clear, that we're going to be obedient to God, just as the answer was clear to these three men, and they chose to be obedient to God. And when they chose to be obedient to God, you know, it didn't take very long for the word to get back to the king. There was probably quite a few people around. And it may not have been easy for the king to notice who was doing what he commanded and who didn't. But as soon as those three men failed to bow down, there was someone that went to the king and said, King, you know, you made this decree, you made this commandment, but we've got these three Jews over here that are refusing to bow down. You know, something that I've noticed is that when God's people stand for what is right, they're always there who are ready to criticize. There are always those who are looking to hurt God's people in one way or another. It could have been that there were others who were jealous of the position and the authority that these three men had because they were foreigners. There could have been numerous reasons why there were those who were willing to go to the king and to point out their disobedience so that they might be punished. Now, sometimes the devil has a way of working in an attempt to hurt God's people. And in this instance, what kind of an effect would it have on the rest of the Jews if they saw these three men who were in a position of responsibility and authority killed because they stood for God? That would make it even more difficult for others to make those same kinds of decisions to be obedient to God, whatever commandments that Nebuchadnezzar might come up with in the future. It would have made it more difficult for them to follow God rather than to follow the king. And so not only did these three young men have the responsibility of doing what was right for themselves, but because of the position that they were in, they were setting an example for those around them. And have you ever thought that you are setting an example for those who are around you? Because every one of you have people who look up to you. You have people who respect you. And what you do has an influence on those people. And so these three men were going to have an influence on those who were around them in addition to being personally responsible for the choice that they made. And so here they stand. And they refuse to bow down to this image that the king has set up. It tells us, as soon as the king found out about that, that in his rage and fury, he had them brought to him. You see, the king wasn't used to that. The king was not used to someone openly defying an order that he had put out. Whatever the king said was what happened, and the fact that these three men refused to obey his commandment made him angry. And so he had them brought to him, and he was angry as he had them brought. But even as he had them brought to them, he did give them a second chance. In the 14th verse, it says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So he says to them, here's your chance. If you'll bow down to my image when you hear the music, then everything's well. But if you refuse to do that, in the same hour, you'll be cast into the burning fiery furnace. There was no delay in capital punishment in those days. They didn't have the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court and lawyers filing all kinds of briefs to delay the implementation of the capital punishment. The king said, you're going to die and it's going to be within an hour after you refuse to obey my commandment. They knew that. They knew that that was exactly what was going to happen. And then the king in his arrogance says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You see, the king knew that all of these gods he worshipped, that this golden image that he had set up, those gods and that image had no authority or no power to overrule the king. But he didn't understand the true and the living God the way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood him. And so as they stood before him, they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, this isn't something they're saying flippantly. They've considered it. They've thought about it. And they've decided that this is the way that it ought to be. And they said, it doesn't matter. We will not worship the image that you've set up. But it's also interesting what they said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. See, these three Hebrew children, as they stood before the king, they said, he can. He's able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace if he chooses. At this point, they didn't know the answer to that. But what they did know is that they would be delivered out of the hands of the king. That the king was not the one who was in control, that it was God who was in control. And that God would make the decision whether or not they died in that burning fiery furnace or whether they would be delivered from the furnace. If they were not delivered from the furnace, however, they would be delivered into the hands of God and out of the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And they stood there with absolute confidence as they said that. And then it tells us that the king was full of fury, that the form of his visage toward them changed. Have you ever seen someone's face change when they get angry? And you know they're really angry. That's the way that it was with Nebuchadnezzar. He had gotten, I guess as you would say, beside himself. Because he was so angry. And he just was not going to put up with these three men defying the order that the king had put out. And out of his anger, he did some things that really didn't make a lot of sense. And I think that's something else that we can kind of learn from this particular passage of Scripture, is that when we act out of anger, we sometimes do some things that are detrimental. Now, as the king was there with these three men and with the men of his army, he said, heat up the furnace 7 times more than you would normally heat it up. And the question that I would ask is why? What difference is it going to make? If it's at its normal temperature, it's still going to kill those three men. So why heat it up 7 times? Well, it's because the king was mad. He was going to show these folks something. So he heated it up 7 times. And not only that, he said for his best men to be the ones that would go. In the 20th verse it says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. So he was going to put on a display of power here. He got his mightiest. He got his best men of valor. And when he talks about that, he's talking about these mighty men, the strongest in his army, the best that he had. And he had them bind these three men, and then he sent them up to the burning fiery furnace. And what does the Scripture tell us? Those men died. And so the king, out of his anger, lost some of the mightiest men in his army. And have we ever gotten angry and gotten beside ourselves and done something that just really didn't make sense and was detrimental in the long run? And that's what happened to the king. He had lost his best men, and in doing so, it had an effect that went out from just right there in the king's anger. It had an effect on the army because his best men were lost. It had an effect on the families of those men who died. But it also had an effect on the king's reputation. Now, this passage of Scripture doesn't go into that, but I can only imagine what the other men in the army must have been thinking when they saw that. And what the other people around were thinking when they saw that the king became so angry that he put the lives of his best men at risk. And it had to have had some kind of effect on the way that people thought about him. And that's true about us as well. Sometimes when we act out of anger, we do things that might affect someone else. We do things that might affect our family. We do things that might affect our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we hurt feelings when we act out of anger. And when we act out of anger and we act inappropriately out of that anger, it has an effect on our reputation because there are those around us who see what we do. And that's why it's so important that as we serve God and as we are obedient to Him and as we follow Him, that we not lose control of ourselves in anger, but that we keep control, that we are obedient, that we serve Him. But even as those men died, they did cast these three Hebrew men into the furnace. But you know the story. Something amazing happened. Nebuchadnezzar was asked, didn't we put three men? Or Nebuchadnezzar asked, didn't we put three men? In the 24th verse it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like to the Son of God. See, there were two things that were amazing to the king. One is that they weren't dead. The second was that their bonds had been taken away. They were free. They were free and walking in that fire. Now, if the king had his mightiest men bind these three Hebrew children before they were cast into the furnace, they were bound tightly. They would not have been able, under their own physical strength, to have loosed the bonds. They did not loose those bonds. God loosed them. They were obedient. They were servants. They did as they were required, and as they were cast into the fire, the bonds were loosed from them, and they were fellowshipping with the Son of God in the midst of the fire. Have you ever felt like because you were trying to do the right thing that you found yourself in the midst of the fire? But even in the midst of the fire, even in the worst possible time, God was with them. His presence was made known to them. They trusted God from the beginning. And out of that trust came their obedience. And out of that obedience came that blessing of being in the presence of God. So here they are, in the midst of a fire that should have killed them instantly. And they are fellowshipping with one another and fellowshipping with God Himself. We've got our own set of bonds. It may not be rope that someone has tied around us, but how often do we find ourselves bound with fear, afraid of things around us, or bound with anxiety, afraid of what might happen? And because of fear and anxiety and all of the other things that we face in this world, we are bound in the sense that we're not serving God the way that we ought to. We're afraid of the fire that might stand before us. We're afraid to be obedient to God because of the consequences. We consider it, as these three men considered, and sometimes, because of that fear or that anxiety or whatever else, we decide it would be better to be disobedient to God and to be obedient to men. Because we see that burning fiery furnace looming in front of us. We see the consequences of our decisions looming in front of us, and we are afraid of those consequences. You see, the difference between us and these three Hebrew children is that we don't trust God the way that we ought to. We don't trust God that we don't have to worry about that furnace, that we don't have to worry about those consequences. We don't trust God to the point that we don't have to be afraid or that we don't have to feel anxiety, as these three men did. There was no question in their mind that they were going to be delivered. They didn't know how they were going to be delivered, but they knew they would be delivered. And that's the same thing with us. If we are obedient to God, if we are serving Him, it doesn't matter what looms in front of us. It doesn't matter what consequences we may be facing. God will deliver us. We may not understand how, but we know that He will. And when we can trust God to that point, then we can be obedient and we can move forward in our service to God. See, these three men, when they faced the king, they said, "We don't know if he's going to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace or not, but he's going to deliver us from you." Well, when they found themselves in the furnace, God delivered them from the burning fiery furnace. And his deliverance is amazing. In the 27th verse, it says, "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them." Now think about that. The fire had no power on their bodies. They were not burned in any way. There wasn't even a hair on their head singed. You realize how easy it is to singe hair? Doesn't have to catch on fire. It just has to get hot. And the furnace was heated 7 times what it was supposed to be heated, and still their hair was not even singed. Their coats weren't changed. Not only did it not have any effect on their bodies, but it had no effect on the clothes that they were wearing as they were cast into that fiery furnace. And it says, "Nor the smell of fire had passed on them." They didn't even smell of smoke. You ever been around a campfire? You don't have to be around it long until the smoke gets into your clothes and you smell of smoke. But God so thoroughly protected these men that there was no evidence that they had ever been in the midst of the fire. They were cast into the fire, as sometimes we may find ourselves cast into the fire, but God protected them. And they came out without any damages to themselves. And that was because they trusted God completely. And because they trusted Him, they were able to be obedient to Him. And because they were obedient to Him, they found themselves in the presence of God. And just as God was with the three Hebrew children in that day, God is with us today. We're all looking at difficult situations and circumstances in our lives at one time or another. Some of us may be looking at them tonight as we're gathered together. But the fact is, if we trust God, we can be obedient. Because we know that God is going to deliver us from whatever fiery furnace may be out there that we're facing. He's going to deliver us in some way. We may not understand how completely, but we will be delivered and we will be blessed. We will find ourselves being comforted by the Spirit of God. We'll find ourselves in His presence. We will find ourselves in the kingdom of God. My prayer that each one of us can learn to trust God so that the fear and the anxiety is taken away. Learn to trust God so that we can obey Him and obey God so that we can feel His presence in our lives. My prayer that God would add His blessings to these words.